If I had nothing to my name, well, it's more than I deserve. For I am nothing in myself, but it's you that I serve. I don't need
wisdom. going to take something to get lifted up in this world. I feel like the name of Jesus can do that for us. It's just, part of nature that you kind of mingle and you're in here in this world. We are part of it. But somehow we'll have to get a hold of something to help us, to lift us up. You know, it's going to take the name of Jesus to lift us up and elevate our minds to where we can be thinking more on the things of God, thinking about his touch, touching our eyes and our ears, that we can appreciate the truth that he allows us to have and take part of and receive. And I appreciate that today that we are singing about that. Sister Jody, I appreciate your good songs about the Lord, you know, touching our eyes and our ears and helping us. You know, I know I'm realizing more. I know I don't probably realize it enough how much I need God. I need his help. And I'm not going to be able to, you know, man can't pull himself up by his own bootstraps. And I know I don't, like I say, realize it as much as I need to. Realize how much of God that I need in my life, how much of his help, and have to, you know, lean on him. And I want to do that. I want to be able to just, you know, I was thinking, it might have been this morning, you know, just be spent by the Lord, you know, just allowing God to use, you know, our lives, and we're going to be spent for something in this life. So why not, you know, allow God, be spent for God, you know, let God have his control in our lives. And that's what I want, really. I don't altogether know how to go about it, but that's what I want, is to be used of the Lord, give my life to the Lord in such a way, you know, that be lifted up by him. You know, that's Jesus said that, you know, if he be lifted up. And, you know, we can be lifted up in this world. You know, he can help us, lift us up, lift our minds up, because I hear what people are saying out here. I hear the things going on in the news and all the things. It can be depressing. But I mean, if we can not just let that happen to us, just begin to allow the things of God. I know just getting in his word. Sometimes I have to kind of make the old man do that. You know, so it's not automatic for me. You know, just get up and just want to pick up the Bible, but I have to make room for it and allow God. And when I do that, it helps me. I can tell that. I mean, I can tell that I'm not getting inspiration from anything else, but I believe I can get it, you know, from the things of God, from his word. And think about the weekend, Bible study, last weekend, this weekend, you know, talking about, back on the creation, you know, how all this happened. You know, we might not have all answers, but we like to talk about it. You know, like to talk about, how did God do that? You know, how did this come about? You know, how did you create us? And, you know, we're talking about the days and whether they spiritual lives to be 1,000 years or 7,000 years, but, you know, God did it. And I appreciate it. I appreciate, you know, having good things to talk about. We could be talking about the sports or whatever, you know, something else out there. But we're talking about the Bible. We're talking about God's creation, you know, how God brought all this about. And I'm interested in it. Brother Smith, I appreciate him. He said, this is what I have on it. This is what I got. The Lord has shown me, you know, and some things he said are secret. You know, God has secret things. And the things that he's revealed to us, you know, they belong to us. What we have received from the Lord, they belong to us. But some things are still secret. You know, we might not all together know, you know, how God did that. But we just have to trust that he did it. You know, trust that God did it, you know, in his power. You know, he has that kind of power. And, you know, he can do that for us, you know, individually. He can do wonders for us individually, you know, if we'll let him. And I, like I say, I have to, it's not, you know, it's not automatic. You have to kind of make yourself somewhat, you know, have to acquire a taste for the things of God. So anyway, it's good to be here today. It's good to be in the house of God and to feel his spirit, like this move of the spirit that we felt here this morning. I appreciate that. And know that God is interested in us, and He want us to go. He want us to be interested in him and to want to ask more about him, want to seek him. He want us a people that are interested in what he's got, what he's done for us. And I'm interested. I want to be more interested in what God is doing and his work and to know about him. You know, get more acquainted. Acquaint thyself with the Lord. You know, we can get acquainted with God and what he has for us. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, everything belongs to him anyway. You know, even what we breathe, the air we breathe, and everything that we do, you know. I was reading about David prepared to build a temple for the Lord. Of course, Solomon built it. But he was saying, you know, after they built it, you know, he said, well, you know, this really can't contain God. This temple can't contain God. Even the heaven of heavens can't contain it. So, but they want to have something to represent a house of God. And that's the whole idea. And just to think, you know, God, this is yours anyway. This is when he tells the children of Israel about blessing them in the land that I have given you. You know, you didn't just receive it or take it on your own. You didn't win this war with your swords and your spears, but I helped you. You know, God wanted to make sure that they understood that. You know, they didn't just get that. You know, God helped them. And I like that attitude. You know, when I began to think about, you know, whatever God has blessed me with, God did that. You know, it's not just in my power, you know, by my might, you know, but God did that. So I want to be able to lift him up and realize that more and more, that God's power. It's by him, his power. So it's good to come out to the house of God and begin to lift our voices and praise and worship to God. And I like that. I like worshiping. I don't have a problem, you know, knowing that Jesus walked this way like we have, that we're walking. And we can call up on him. He understands, you know, what we go through. And he knows that the nature that we have, what did it have, you know, we can't just, you know, say go away, you know, and it's gone. But we have to have God's help, and he realized that. That's why we have to go through some of the things we go through. I was talking to one of my nieces, and was talking about, she was saying, you just pray and all, God will remove all my problems. I said, well, I mean, I would. You go ahead and pray that way, but I don't think he's going to remove all your problems. But anyway, you know, God going, he's what somebody said, cosmetologian Santa Claus was. Yeah, he's not a cosmic Santa Claus. He's not going to just, you know, fix everything and we have no problem. But he does help us. You know, he takes us through some of our problems, and then he's there. That's the good part about it. He is there. You know, when I'm going through my problem, just realize, God, I know you're there. You were there with me. And he does take some of them away. Thank God for that. He takes some, removes some of our problems, but he let us go through some of them, and just to realize he's, and then we give him the glory. You know, once we get some victory over whatever it is, then we turn around and give God the glory, because he helped us through it. I appreciate that today. I like talking about the things of God, because it is all him. This is all God, you know. This is world, you know. our services connect, you know, like one weekend to another, about, you know, God's got just my world in the palm of his hand, and just connecting on to his creation. You know, we didn't make ourselves, like it says in Psalm 100, about, you know, we didn't make ourselves. God made. You know, we didn't get here on our own. You know, and why would I get even haughty about, you know, get have a haughty spirit? Because, you know, what did I do? You know? So anyway, I'm thankful. I'm thankful today that God has allowed us together here. We're gathered together in God's house, and I'm thankful for that. And we'll to lift him up. So it's good to be here. Good that everyone, we missed a Sunday, and I'm sure everybody missed being in church last Sunday. But anyway, we tried to be in church. We didn't make it, but anyway, it's good to be here today. And my wife called, I think, Sister Renata, to tell her that we weren't having church. She said, well, I would have been there. I think she texted her or something. But anyway, I'm glad they're here today. So, and good to have them. Brother Jeff. They kind of getting to be regulars here. So anyway, Brother Jeff Fryer, good to see you, brother. God bless you. Got you. So anyway, it's good. Dylan, yeah. 30 days, right? We count them, Brother Dylan. We appreciate you. Okay, we missed the offering last Sunday, so we need to do double time today. So anyway, we'll make up for it. And so it's good to Brother Mike Smith. It's back down his back. So let's remember Brother Mike Smith today and pray for him. Just thought of that when I saw this scene. But anyway, I know we have other needs. Brother Smith's mother, Sister Bonnie, remember her. I'm sure. All right, Brother and Sister Wallace, Brother and Sister Crow, the Curtises, Sister Tiffany and her mom.
Sister Smith's sick today. She's here. She's really sick to her stomach.
All right, man. Pray for Sister Smith. Pray for her. All right. Yes. Yes. Remember Brother Ron, his wife, Beth. Remember, pray for her. All right, Sister Hawk. All right, remember Sister Holly's praying about this job situation, Sister Donna. Okay. Remember that. Sister Lynn. Okay, unspoken. All right. Sister Abraham. Oh, God. Thank the Lord for that. And keep praying for Abraham's family. All right. Anybody else? All right. Let's stand and take these needs. And the usher will come. We'll do an offering. Father in heaven, we thank you. Oh,
God.
Lord, you allowed us to be here together
today.
Lord, we ask that you help each man. Each request. Lord, each need, Lord, we know that you have answers. Thank you for your touches, Lord, and your touches. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, have Brother Mike. Lord, touch his back, Lord. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh,
touch
your holy name. Oh, praise your holy name, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, brother, sister, lift them up, O God. Sister Wallace.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
happy where we are. And the song service has been especially touching to me and uplifting, and I appreciate that. I appreciate knowing that God's here and that he will meet us if we will reach out to him. That first song, I'd like to see the words to the first verse again, because I just in thinking them and watching them, I kind of prayed that. Song was a prayer, talking to God, and just thinking while I reach up. I mean, I just felt, Lord, I need to reach up. You know, I need to physically. It said, if I had nothing to my name, it's more than I deserve. Just that one line, if you just think about that, if I had nothing, that's more than I deserve. And yet, look at all that he's given and all he's blessed me with, naturally and spiritually. Look at how he's blessed me. It's way more than I deserve, for I'm nothing in myself, but it's you that I serve. We can get so focused on me and what I have and what everybody else has, and do I have whatever, you know, it's natural, but that's carnal, and I don't need any more than what he feels is fitting for me, than what he feels I need. And if I'm where he wants me, then I don't need to fret. Said, I don't need wealth or fame, Lord, I just want to know your way. So write your wisdom upon my heart, Lord. Write your wisdom on my heart. Let me reach out for only what you want me to have, no more, no less. But the Bible says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then these other things will be added. Whatever you need will be added. It will. And we think, I've used the phrase a lot in my life. Oh, I need that. Oh, I need that, And I don't. I don't need that. In fact, a lot of those things I think I need probably aren't even good for me, to be honest. They probably come between me and him. I want to reach for him. Seems like the last couple of weeks, and the songs have even encouraged the thought in my mind that scripture, and I'm not even reading there in my Bible right now, but it came to me at some point recently. It said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Doesn't say he'll give me everything else that I'm hungering and thirsting for, but if I hunger and thirst after righteousness, and when I stop and think, Lord, at times I just feel like I don't have enough of him. I need, I need to feel that spirit. I need to feel him again. And I think, well, how hungry and thirsty am I really? Most of the time, for him, for righteousness. Or am I, as children often get their eyes on cookies and candy and chips and junk food, and a lot of times the mother's having to go, no, you can't have that right now. You'll ruin your supper, you'll ruin your appetite. And I got to thinking about that. If I'm not careful, I can get so busy eating, filling myself up with things that may be okay in their place, but I love to read. And Sister Tally and I, we've often in the past, said we're gonna take a break. We're gonna go this 3 months. We're not gonna read, And I appreciate, she was really good to help me with that. And now I hope I've built this enough in my life. I'm not going to backslide next week, but I do. I get up and most days I read my Bible first thing. I've been able to incorporate that. I'm thankful for that much, at least, that I can do that first. And not only her, but other people, things that have been said have helped me, that's good in its place. I don't read books that I think are bad for me necessarily. They're usually inspirational, Christian themes or whatever. But they can't take the place if I fill myself, if I'm just gorging on that all the time, I'm not hungry then when it comes time for what I need to eat, what's good for me. And I don't know where I'm going with that, just that, I want to leave room. I don't want to fill myself up with things to where I'm really not hungry, when at times I'm so tired, I've worked myself silly, I'm drained, my brain's just fried, and I come into church when I need to be ready to eat what's good for me, and I need to be able to thirst and bring that. I'm so worn out and I'm not hungry and I'm not thirsty enough to get in there and, you know, maybe I might take a bite if somebody brings it to me on a plate. Have you ever been that way somewhere where you're just, you know, somebody's wanting you to try a dessert and, well, I am so full. If you'll bring me a piece, I'll try a bite. I've done that. I've been there. And I think sometimes maybe I'm doing that when I come to church. You know, like I'm so busy and I'm full. And, boy, that sure looks good. Chocolate pie or whatever, you know. Well, if you'll bring me a piece, and you know, if I don't have to go up and go get it and cut it and put it on the plate, I might take a bite. I don't want to do that with God. I don't want to do that with Him. I want that. This isn't just chocolate pie, although He has given me chocolate pie a few times. But this is the vegetables and the meat and the nutrition that I need to have a healthy, you know, there's a lot going on now talking about healthy, being healthy and what we're putting in our bodies. I want to do that with my spiritual life. I want to eat healthy. And then when He feels like putting a little icing on the cake for me, thank God. You know, but I want to know that I've got the real nutrition that I need and all the other that'll go with it. So I'm just thankful. I want to reach for Him. I want to do my part by reaching, by being hungry. And then when He's ready, when He feels like I'm ready, and He can say, okay, you know, here, I've got it for you, that I'll be there, I'll be available and be ready. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for where we are, for what He has allowed us to have, for this truth, for His people, and just for His blessings.
Smith, I'm sure he remembers we were having trouble getting this feeling the Spirit. He said, see how hard it is to feel the Spirit tonight. He said, we may have to not take off on Memorial Day Sunday next year, but that was then and this is now. So I feel like God is really blessing us more all the time with the Spirit, and as this world gets more evil, I feel like we'll feel more of His Spirit. You know, it seems like the bars are coming down. Now they're allowing recreational marijuana in some places. When I moved to Conway 11 years ago, well, since I was, I guess all my life, Conway has been in a dry county. So about 10 years ago, they started giving liquor permits to restaurants in Faulkner County. And at first, they said there was just a handful. Now they say there's so many liquor permits that you can't hardly count them. So now Walmart, I reckon they're behind it. It's been in the paper. Faulkner County's a dry county. Walmart's trying to get enough signatures to put it on the ballot in November that they can pass Faulkner County and two other counties to be able to sell alcohol like in Walmart stores. And if they do that, they'll probably have other stores. So anyway, and of course, homosexual marriage is being honored, and today in Conway it's the annual Gay Pride Parade. This is the 11th year of the Gay Pride Parade, and I know where these two men live that instigated this parade. They've been together 28 years. They got married in Canada, and I don't know if Arkansas honors counts them as being married or not, but anyway, they had an interview in the paper yesterday, one of these men that's behind this parade, and he said, we don't want to be tolerated, we want to be accepted. So, you know, if they come in here We're not going to tolerate them or accept them unless they're willing to change. But so the bars are coming down everywhere, and of course we've got a president that gives honor to homosexuals, and so. But I'm just thankful for what we feel here, and you know, the Pharisees wanted a sign, and Herod hoped to have seen some miracle done by Jesus. But he didn't see one. But, you know, the apostles, they were with the Lord, and they knew he was superhuman. I mean, you know, God is like a, he's like a man that's got built up muscles. He's a muscle man. He's got power, you know. And so they saw him raise the dead, and they saw him turn the water to wine. But then when Jesus said, where are we going to get food to feed this multitude before they go away, we can't send them away fasting, you know, and all of, you know, the apostles, I think it was Philip, he said, where are we going to get enough food to feed all these people? And they had seen his miracle power, and yet they still doubted, even though they had seen miracles. You know, if he's, you know, I guess everybody thinks, what if I could just see a miracle? But that doesn't always make you a believer. But back in April, I bought a book. It's a little over 1,000 pages long, and it's got a lesson for each day of the year. It's about over 3 days for each 3 pages for each day, and this man that wrote this book is an expert in the Greek, and every day he gives a lesson in the Greek. So I'm enjoying that, because you know, even though you see that the English language pretty well carries the main meaning of the word, yet when you get the Greek meaning, it adds something to it. So anyway, just I guess I've added up enough, but it's good to be here and feel this spirit.
Good to be back in the house of the Lord today. Appreciate everything that's been said and the good songs we've heard. I know we need to feel God, and that's what we came here to do, is worship Him and sup with Him, or have worship to that. And touch the Lord and have Him touch us back, like that song said, as I reach out, please reach that back to me. And I'd hate to be serving a God that I couldn't feel. I don't know how long I could last at that. The feelings go along with our understanding and our knowledge. If I didn't feel what I heard, if God didn't give me any witness, I'm glad Jesus said what He did when He said, I'm not alone, or I'm not without a witness. There's another that bears witness of me. He was talking about His Father. You could feel His Spirit. when Jesus had His services all around the little services that He had in small groups as He traveled and walked and journeyed with His disciples. I don't know how many of the 120 that it wound up with, He wound up with, he had a pretty good crowd at one time listening to Him, over 5,000 men, and then that didn't include the women and children. When He gave out His message, but I don't know where they all went. But when it came right down to it, he had about 120 that stayed with him all the way and was in the upper room to receive what he came here to give. He came to give life, make it possible that you and I could be born again. And I'm thankful today that there was 120 that were there. Thank God that everyone didn't turn him away. Because it's because of him and them that we're here today. He prayed in the 17th chapter of St. John, not only for them, but he prayed for those that would believe on him because of them. And that has just grown and escalated until it reached you and me. And here we are today, and it still works the same way. God is still, Jesus said, no man comes unto me except my Father draws him. God's still drawing people. He's still reaching out. You and I wouldn't be here if God didn't touch us, wasn't dealing with us. Aren't you glad there's some way, like Sister Lynette was rehearsing this, the words in this song, that if I didn't have nothing, it'd be more than I deserved. But there's a sort of a paradigm in that phrase. I mean, if you had nothing, there wouldn't be any more to it. But you get the point across that if I was without, in other words, God doesn't owe me anything. He created this world and I just am part of the offspring of God's creation. And I don't deserve anything, but God, in His mercy, in His grace, in His desire to save man from his foolishnesses, or, you know, his different ways of not being led of God. It's a blessing that God lets us have whatever we have. You know, I've often said this. This is sort of a crude illustration or statement. But I was telling somebody the other day, I said, as a preacher, different part of the country, but I said, I was actually talking to him about talking to a preacher about tithing. And I was telling him, you know, I was in a minister's meeting one time when one of the younger pastors, he asked the question to the elders. He said, I've got a new family in my church, and they came to me and told me, said, look at all my bills. Said, we can't afford to tithe because we can't even pay our bills. And he said, I told him, well, don't worry about tithing right now. Let's just work on getting your bills paid, and we'll work it in to getting you started tithing. He said, did I tell him right? And one of the brothers at the head table said, yeah, you told him right. I said, give me a microphone. I said, no, you didn't tell him right. I'm sorry, I disagree. I said, I made that mistake when I was a young pastor telling that to people, a few people. And I said, the few people I told it to never did ever get tithing as a principle in their life. And I said, let me tell you, you can't afford not to tithe. That's a principle in God of putting God first in everything. Let me read you a scripture on that. Turn to Proverbs. and I didn't get up here to talk on tithing, so, and most of you could tell anybody that was here knew that I don't hardly ever get on this, but for some reason I'm on it, so I'm going to stick with it till I get this said anyway about it. Well, is that the scripture I'm wanting? No, it's not. To lean not to your own understanding. Let's see if I can find that scripture right quick. Yeah, but where's it at? It's in the third chapter, excuse me. And the fifth verse. Or let's start in the fourth. Said, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So there's a principle in learning how to put God first and honoring with him with your substance and the first fruits. I was telling this preacher, I said, it's part of faith. It's part of recognizing that God gave you everything you have. The air you breathe, everything that's created that you use to sustain life on this earth, God gave it. It's part of the creation. And I said, anybody that don't recognize him in that, Jesus said this. He said, any man that comes up any other way is what? A thief and a robber. I said, if you don't honor God, you're a thief. that's a pretty crude way of saying it. But he's saying that first, if you first will recognize God with your substance and in everything, if you'll give God recognition, you realize that, hey, everything I've got, God gave it to me, and I'm going to put him first. I said, you're not telling those people to put him first. You're telling them to put him last and to work him up to first. I said, tell them to start out. I said, just start out by faith. I've done this. I don't have to wonder about it because I've been pastoring a church now for almost 40 years. And I've started people out telling them how to do it. And everyone that obeyed me, God blessed them in it. I watched their lives be blessed. I did it in my own life. I paid tithes when I got my check, I paid God. You know, I said, God, here's your 10%. It's my first fruits. I'm giving you that back to recognize. I'm putting you in my recognition that you're before everything in my life. And the only way I know how to do that is put you in the first position in everything, all my substance. You know, I need to recognize, somebody said they get up in the morning and start reading the Bible. Good. You get up in the morning recognizing God. I had a cousin that influenced me in a great way. His name was David Jewell, and I stayed with him a few times, and the way he gets up in the morning is he slides out of bed on his knees and starts praying. When he wakes up, he made that a habit in his life, never to stand up, but just to slide out on his knees and start recognizing God, you're first in this day that I just woke up in, and I want to talk to you a few minutes. I want you to know that I need your help today. I want you to know that I recognize you. I owe you praise. I owe you everything I got. And I know I need to serve you. And he had prayed, say his prayers every morning. That impressed me. That helped me to know this man considers God. He put that in his life. And so just to put God first in everything and recognizing him. And those are principles that when you get those principles in your life, God sees that. How would he say, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty? If you'll do this, I'll bless you. And you'll be blessed. So really, God intends for you to be blessed. And really, everybody I know that serves God and puts him first before everything, I don't know anybody that does that's not blessed. I don't know anybody that does that. Everyone that I know of that, you know, it doesn't mean God won't take you through trials, you know, and take you through things. And it doesn't mean he won't correct you. It doesn't mean he won't purge you or prune you back if you need it. But I've never known the Lord overall. I mean, you just watch somebody's life who's faithful and puts God first in everything. They're blessed people. Every person I know that really has that principle in their life, they're blessed. If they don't have it, they struggle. They always struggle. I've never seen that fail. It's a principle. So, I just know that he's a great God. This is a great life. Even for those of us that we're seeking God out. We're looking for new heights in God. We're looking for more of him. A song about that, more of you. And we're a people that realize that we need more of God. Yet, I think sometimes we just need to be thankful for what we do have, thankful for where we are in God, what he has done for us, how he has blessed us, and what he has brought us to. I was talking to Brother Green, Emilio Green, in the Dominican Republic just the other day, and he's, listen to this. They went to Santiago to a church, him and Brother Elias and Brother Ramon. Brother Ramon, he's been around us now for several years, but he's just really, God's touched him. He's kind of come alive. And Brother Green said he's going crazy with this message. Well, they went to a church, and they preached to this church, and they've been to it a couple times, two or three times in the last 6 months. He said these people, right down at the end of the service, somebody wanted to know if they could ask a question on something that was said. And they said, yeah. So they asked a question. Then somebody else said, well, can I ask a question? He said, Brother Smith, them people kept us till 3 o'clock in the morning asking questions. I said, how many of them kept you? How many of them stayed till 3 o'clock in the morning? He said there was at least 50 that stayed. Some of them went home and ate and came back. He said they heard that they're still going. They came back. I said, what questions were they asking? Well, he told me some of the things they were to ask. In fact, one of the questions was on water baptism. When they got through talking to them about it, they asked their pastor publicly, when are we going to get baptized again? They saw it. Some of them saw, we're going to have to do this again. We've done it wrong. And God touched them. I thought to myself, I wonder where I could go in America and get somebody to keep me up in a service till 3 o'clock in the morning. I asked Brother Green, I said, did anybody fall out of the window and break their neck? You know, Brother Paul had a man, what was his name? Eutychus. He's sitting up in the window. I don't know if he sat up in there to get fresh air, Brother Daniels, because he's trying to keep him going to sleep. You ever been in service where you're fighting sleep? I have. You hadn't been to church very much if you haven't. You know, because we have sometimes those dry services and even sometimes some good services. You just can't, you know, you just, you know, maybe you hadn't had much rest. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm getting where I can't sleep at night as good as I could when I was a young man. And sometimes it's 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning before I actually get a good enough sleep. Sometimes I'm sitting up in a chair until that time. And this morning, about 1:30, I was in a chair, and I thought, why am I fighting this? I'm sitting here trying to go to sleep, and I'm trying to keep from going to sleep. And it's the thing I'm wanting to do the worst. Why don't I get up and go to bed? Of course, I sleep in a chair sometimes because I have some different ailments in my body that I can't lay down and I can't get any rest in the bed sometimes. So this, and I have sinus trouble, and sometimes if I lay down, my head fills up with fluid, and so sometimes I have to sleep in a recliner. But when I feel good enough, I want to be in the bed. But anyway, they've got that much excitement, at least in one church over there. And then they left there and went to another church. Brother Green's working with some different churches and bringing them in to the body of Christ. And that's exciting to me. And I was just thinking this morning, we were talking, we're working on the book of Hebrews and Bible study, and we kind of got off track this morning, but it's still interesting. So we got on, I'm surely not going to talk on that, but we got on how God created the world. And Brother Stewart gave us a little short lesson about how the continents, you know, the world was all together, and then God separated the land and made the seas and put the waters together, and he had it all separated out, and it's still going a little bit, a few centimeters every once in a while. But anyway, we got off on working on that. And how long is a evening and a morning being a day in 7 days of creation? Was all them days the same amount of time? The evening and the morning, was each one of them the same day? Each one of them was a day, but how long a day was it? You know, one of the questions I want to know was, how long was the day God created Adam in? How many years was that, or was it just a 24-hour day? But anyway, we worked on that for a while, and it was nobody went to sleep. I'll just put it to you that way. But we're working on the book of Hebrews, and I was saying, the book of Hebrews is it's a letter, and it's a letter to the Jews back in the New Testament time, to rehearse to those Jews who were converted and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, to rehearse to them why they see and they saw back there that Jesus was the Christ. And it looked like the writer, it was, if the dates are right, was written somewhere around AD 64 and AD 68. So right at the close of that age, right before AD 70, looked like they were, the writer, if it was Paul, wanted them to know Jesus is the Christ. And he continues on. We hadn't got past we're just in the fourth chapter, so we hadn't got very far, but he continues on to show them why they need to overcome sin, reach perfection. I mean, he carries the message right on of the plan of God. And sometimes you and I need reminding. In fact, I was talking to my wife. Every once in a while, I use my wife as a sounding board. And last night we was talking about the Bible, and I just kind of, every once in a while, I'll throw something at her just to see where she's at. I said, well, what if all this is wrong? What if everybody's going to go to heaven? What if everybody gets to go? What if this is just a learning experience and there's another expanse? She said, you can't believe that. She said, there's some wicked people ain't got any business being in heaven. She said, there's some people that we don't need them. If they're not going to change, we don't need some people. There's some people that are just outright wicked, murderers and thieves, and they don't have an ounce worth of. Well, I realize nobody can just mess with your mind about anything. I realize she believes something, and anyway, I just threw that out at her just to. Because she had told me, and I'll just tell on her. She probably can hear me. She's here somewhere. No, I think she's upstairs in the apartment. That's where she told me she's going to go lay down. But she told me. She said, I don't know. I can't shake. I'm discouraged. She told me. She said, I can't shake it. I've just been, you know. She said, you know, I mean, she's not just down in the dumps, but she just knows she's not where she wants to be. You know, she's going through a little struggle. And so, you know, I got to talking to her a little bit. But then we got to talking about, I began to remind her of things. God takes us through things that helps us to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And just when you hear it, it doesn't mean that you got it. But the Spirit of God has to touch you. It has to be quickened of the Holy Ghost when somebody says it. When the Word of God is quickened, when a preacher who has a gift to preach preaches a message and the Spirit of God quickens that message and it touches your ears, and God quickens your ears. He quickens you. Somebody sent me a text this morning. I made a statement recently that an evil spirit can't dwell outside. It needs something to possess to exist. So I got a text this morning. I know who sent it to me, but I don't know if this is what they were thinking. Their question was, can the Holy Ghost live outside of a person? I fired them back and answered, no. Now, I know the Spirit of God can be present. You can feel it, and it's not dwelling in you. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God, in fact, Jesus told them the Holy Ghost was with them. But his question was, can it live? For it to live, it's got to become a part. The life of God's got to work in you, and you know you can feel the presence. I can feel your presence. I sure can. There's times that I get to talking on something, and I can feel people's spirits. I can feel your spirit when you just wished I'd sit down and hush. I can feel that. I can see it in many of your, you know, some people. I do this while people are up talking. I don't guess they realize that a speaker knows what they're doing. You know, the speaker hears them, you know. Dear God. Well, we're doing the best we can do. You know, we'll trade with you. We'll sit down to you if you want to try to do this. But normally, you know, we try not to just get up and talk. We don't have anything to say. But anyway, the Spirit of God, I'm thankful I can feel it. I'm thankful when we have these songs, I can feel God. I'm glad that it gets in my feelings. It touches my emotions, the thoughts, that the words of these songs. That's why Sister Lynette said, I'd like to read that. Look at that first verse again, because those songs got her to thinking on something and made her have a certain appreciation. It got her thinking along a line. That's what this does. The Word of God will get you to thinking about God. It'll get you to try to understand the things of God. I'm like Brother Tally. I could be doing a lot of things, but this is what I want to be a part of, is what God's doing. I'm trying to be a part of what God is doing. And I want to be a part, and it's a journey. It's a journey. It takes time. I didn't start out, I didn't start out to be a preacher or a pastor. I just started out serving God. And, you know, everybody's not called to do the same thing. And I didn't start out to have a missionary work in the Dominican. I had none of that in my mind. I never even had pastoring in my mind. It just happened. It's something that evolved in my walk with God. And I didn't try to go off and build a work by myself. You know, I tried to sit under other men and work with men, but they even pushed me out. I remember when I asked Brother Don Patton, you know, if I could just move to Fort Worth and sit down and be a part. That's what I really wanted to do. He wouldn't let me. He said, no. He said, we don't really have a place for you here. You know what that made me feel like? He said, there's all kinds of men sitting here on the platform. He said, you'd just be another knot on the log up there. He said, God, he said, you got people following. You've got people that are drawn to you and your ministry. So he said, you're just going to have to keep working with them. I thought, oh, it'd be a lot easier just to move and sit down somewhere and kind of dig, you know, this out and try to struggle with it. But that's how the Lord worked with me. But everybody's not, God hadn't called everybody to do that. And I would have, Billy Brown, let's use Brother Billy Brown for an example. Consider this. He came into the Houston church, sat there and went in a band and sat under, and he said when Brother Clyde Patton called him and asked him to come up and talk to him one day and asked him, told him he wanted to make him his assistant, he said, it floored me. And then Brother Patton later sent him to Brownwood, Texas, to be over Brother McCluskey's old church. Brother McCluskey was getting old, and he wanted somebody to take the church. He sent Brother Billy Brown there. He went there and was pastor there for a year or two. He said, I couldn't make it there. I couldn't build nothing there. I couldn't get anything going. He said it just didn't work. He said, Brother Patton finally let me come back home. He never did feel to go out anywhere and do anything, but then he wound up not only the pastor of the Houston church, but one of the most leading men in the body of Christ. So look at the difference of how God works with different men. And so men just have to, it's a journey. That's what I'm saying. It's a journey we're on. We have to try to find our place in God. And I understand how difficult it is sometimes for men to try to locate, find their self, find their place in God. It's that way with saints, I believe. You know, of course, if you just feel like God's called you to be a member of the church and work in the church, I think that's good, because it's easy for you to settle on what God wants you to do. But all of us have different callings, and it all makes up a part of the family of God, part of the operation of God. Just remember, you do have a calling. There is something you can do. You do have gifts and talents. Put them to work for God. And labor to build His kingdom. I think that's our main, if our main calling. I was going to tell you, I was talking to Brother Emilio Green about him visiting these churches, and I reminded him. I said, remember this, Brother Green, for you to help people, they're going to have to understand the one thing that they're going to have to understand about where we're at, what God is doing today, what God's working on today. They'll have to understand that the New Testament church fell away and went into darkness, and that it has to be restored, and the restoration process is not finished. I said, you'll never be able to get anybody to understand the Bible if they don't understand that. That was, I told him, I said, remember when I came to the Dominican Republic? That was my message. I worked on it for several years, and you brethren got that understanding, and that's what opened your eyes to see, if people don't understand that the church fell away, they won't understand why there's so many different ideas about the Bible and why there's so many different organizations out here of Christianity, and they won't understand why we've been, in other words, if you can understand you've been taught things that's not the truth, then you can begin to realize, you can begin to seek truth. Sister Lynette mentioned that scripture in Matthew 5. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You have to understand the Word of God to be hungry for it, to know what is right. Righteousness is right doing, and the righteousness of the Word of God. I could give you, you know, a few scriptures. Let me just rehearse this in your mind this morning. About in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, and before I say anything on these horses in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, let's look in the 19th chapter. I want you to see that he carries the thought of the horse. The horses is carried out and brought back into the vision in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation in the 11th. Is it the 11th verse? Yeah. He said, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, we see Jesus riding on a white horse and followers with him riding on white horses. But if you go back to the sixth chapter of the book of Revelations, remember in the fifth chapter, John saw this book sealed within and without and on the back side of it. It was sealed with seven seals. And as the seals open up, each seal reveals something. And so he opens up the first seal in the sixth chapter and he sees. He said, I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And that's all that was revealed there, but if we took the time, and I don't have time this morning, we could show you in the book of Joel, the book of Zechariah, the book of Isaiah, and some different Psalms. We could show you that horses represent, they're symbolic of the church. And here, John sees a white horse, and the rider had a bow. That was an army bow. It was a bow and arrow. I could give you four or five scriptures on that. I know it could be, you know, a rainbow for a covenant, or it could be a bow, but I showed you there in the 19th chapter, he's on his horse to do war. And he's bringing judgment to this world. He brought judgment in the early church. The reason the horse is white is because white's the color of righteousness. And the horse is the church. It represents the church. And Jesus, in the New Testament, when you read the New Testament, symbolically, you're looking at Jesus and his church. Jesus riding a white horse. That was his horse was the church. It's just a symbolic picture. And he went forth conquering and to conquer, warring against sin and false religion and false ideology. And he did it in righteousness. And he taught righteousness to the people. And the people carried his message with him, like a horse carries its rider. And then John saw that in verse 3, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat on thereon to take peace from the earth, and they that should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Well, now the horse changes color to red. And of course, red's the color of sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. When the Lord saves you and forgives you, He'll make you white. He'll clean you up. But sin, the red is the symbolic color of sin. And what you need to understand that happened back there in the early church is that Jesus came and on the day of Pentecost and had a message and salvation that cleaned people up. Cleaned them up from sin. And lifted them up out of the pit. And washed them and made them white in righteousness, in God's righteousness. But when God finished that work, harvesting that world, there was the church began to fall away. When this message got in among the Gentiles, they didn't have the same platform, the same understanding. And it fell down in more of a carnal realm. And sin entered into the church. If you go back to the third chapter of 1 John, maybe it's the fourth chapter, where he said, "Brethren, believe not every spirit, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." You have to understand what happened back there. You got to understand that the church began to wane and fall away. God had accomplished what he accomplished among the Jews, but the gospel was being given to the Gentiles, and they were receiving it on a different level. It got down in a carnal realm, more of a place where men really didn't fully understand all the things about God. And sin entered into the church. Still, I believe the Holy Ghost, there were still Pentecostal people. I think the red horse represents a Pentecostal era. And we're in that place now. I think we're in a red horse state now. We're We're not in that same red horse because the church went from white to red to black to pale. But then I think it's coming back out of pale to black to red, and it'll go back to white. Because in the 19th chapter, we see he's riding a white horse again. But the church went from a righteous state down into a Pentecostal state like we're in now. We're in a Pentecostal era, but we're not in a white horse era yet. We're not in a place where we have everything that God has for us. We're not going forth. Jesus isn't riding this horse with a bow, going forth conquering and to conquer. If we're having trouble conquering today, just take a look beside you. See how many of the pews are empty. We're having trouble conquering. If you'd have been living back there in that day, you'd have had a hard time finding a place to sit. If you could go to, if a man crawled up in a window, that may have been why he was there. He might not have had another place to sit, Brother Daniels. He might have just had to sit in a window sill because there's the only seat in the house. But he went to sleep there and fell out of the window and broke his neck. Paul quit preaching, went out there and laid hands on him, healed him from a broken neck. Said, go in there, and he probably said, you're the one been paying attention. You sit in the window, and Eutychus, you sit in a chair. And I ain't got time to heal your broken neck every time you go to sleep on me. But anyway, we're not conquering. We're not going forth conquering and to conquer right now. We're just trying. We're maintaining, but we are looking for God to do something to help us. Before God gets finished, He does know how to put people on their knees. You watch what I'm telling you. When God gets this, when He gets ready to begin to deal with this country and fill up the pews in His churches, He knows exactly what to do to drive people to their knees. And God can, and He will. Before this is over with, He's going to put this nation back on its knees and get them to seeking God again. It shouldn't be that way. We ought to want to seek Him and not have to be made to or forced to. But God loves us enough that He'll force us to, if He has to try to save us. And He won't force you to be saved altogether, but He does know how to. Just follow the Bible. Just read the Bible. Look at how many times, every time Israel got off in a wreck and went the wrong way, God put them in captivity somewhere. He had a nation, a king go in defeat them or something. He'd get them back on their knees and get them looking back to Him. If God loves you, He'll deal with you. I'm glad He loves me. I don't want Him to have to whip me. I keep telling them, the Lord, every once in a while I can feel God's not pleased, or I know that I'm working on something in my life, and I tell God every once in a while, I say, give me a little space here. I'm working on this. You don't have to beat me up over it. If you could work with me on this, I'd appreciate it. I tell God that every once in a while. I tell Him, look, I know that I need to work on this, and so I'm going to work on it. I want you to know that. And of course, sometimes I don't do very good, and I remind Him again, I'm going to get back to working on it. Well, we're in a red horse era, and look, the rider on this horse, he had a sword in his hand, didn't he? Power is given to him to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. So you can take the word of God's a sword. And you can take the word of God and you can hurt people with it. I don't think preachers intentionally think, I'm just going to learn enough about the Bible that I can just kill folks. I don't think there's any preacher that thinks like that. I just think that their lack of wisdom and understanding, and I'm guilty. I haven't done everything right. I'll tell you this. I'm not deliberately trying to do anybody wrong. I'm trying to do what I think is right. But then sometimes I look back on situations and I think, that wasn't wisdom. Thank God, He's helping me, correcting me. But sometimes the people of God suffer. See, this red horse takes peace from the earth. The peace that they had in that white horse, it began to be taken away because there were men that didn't know how to function in leadership with the Word of God. It's a great sword. And when you learn enough about it and you don't learn how to use it right, without wisdom, you can hurt people. Really, my philosophy is more, this is where I'm becoming more and more with this thinking, that I don't want really to have to force anybody to do anything. I want God to take hold of people's lives. I want to preach the Word of God to them, and I want God to work in their life and God to deal with them. But I realize as a whole, as a church, see, as a church, as a whole, we've got to have a certain amount of rules here. We can't just let anything go. Brother Fleming was talking today. We can't just tolerate anything coming in here. We teach certain things. We teach, you know, I wouldn't let you come up here in this band, play in this band, just dressed any old way. I wouldn't allow that. You know, I might give God a chance to work on you. But if you won't listen to God, see, if I allowed, let's just say one of you young people just decided that, you know, I'm gonna do different than the band's gonna do. I'm gonna dress like a hippie. You know, one of you boys said, I'm going to get me one of them pair of breeches that hangs down around about right here. My underwear is showing about 6-8 inches where I have to walk like this to hold them up. He said, I'm going to get me a pair of them breeches and play in the band them breeches like that. You know, I'm going to let my hair grow down about halfway down my back. I'm not going to shave or get cleaned up or nothing. I'm just going to do that. Well, number one, you would be very dishonorable to the body of Christ and to this church and to me if you did something like that. And I would be less than a leader if I didn't try to get you to understand that if I allow you to do that, I'm telling all the young people, that's okay. It's okay for you to defile everything that we teach about righteousness. It's okay for you to tear down the example that we've tried to build up all these years, and for you to defile that, or for you to dishonor that, or rebel against it. A man would be less than a leader if he didn't try to correct that and help a person. But I just think you can go overboard in those things. I always try to watch God. I'd like to see how God feels about something. I'm asking God to get in on some of these things. And rather than for me to react real fast, and that's why I don't want you as a congregation to react real fast. Don't get to thinking I'm saying something's all right just because I let it happen. I'm trying to save people. But what you see up here is that's the order that I love and the order I believe in. But if there's one or two that gets out of order, I may bear with that a little while. And just see if God will get in the picture with us. God will help us sometime, some way. And the Lord will begin to deal. You know, let me tell you something. I have a hard time. This scripture Sister Lynette used today, let me get off my message just a minute just to give you something in Matthew 5. And I know it's getting late, so I'm not going to talk too much longer. I just have to let you go and let you wonder what all else I was going to say about some of this. But in this message in Matthew, the 5th chapter, when he starts out in the message, so let me give you just a couple things here. Where he starts out, blessed are they that are poor in spirit. See, God's working on principles. The Lord's working on principles in people's lives. You've got to, there's a certain amount of humility when you come to God that you got to get poor and you got to realize, I need God. I need God. I need His forgiveness. I need His help in my life. And that's working a principle. When God gives you faith to believe and realize that you need to repent and you need God to touch your life and begin to forgive you and help you get out of the sinful condition you're in, it works a humility in your life. And then, blessed are they that mourn, for they'll be comforted. Yeah, you need to mourn. You need to cry out to God. You need to realize how much you need Him. That's working humility. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Keep that humility and meekness. That means, really, the best I know to explain meekness is don't resist God. It's not you're not meek because you're weak. You're meek because you begin, this starts working a fear of God. When you get meek, you fear God. You start realizing there's a God in heaven. I need Him, and I need to know more about Him, and I need to learn not to resist Him. And then when He says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, see, when you see you need God, when you see, I'm hungry, that's because you're beginning to realize there's a God in heaven and His judgment is on my life. It's going to be on my life. And here I am in this life and I'm beginning to recognize God and I'm beginning to have a reverence and a fear of Him. Those are principles to learn how to be humble and then to fear God. Then blessed are the pure in heart. For they'll see God. And the peacemakers. See, now you're growing and developing in a stage of honor. You start trying to be peacemaker. You start trying to make peace with people's lives and have the peace of God. Let them feel the peace of God. Let the peace of God work in our life, your life, their life. You're beginning to honor God's honor starting to work in you. You're honoring God, you're honoring what God's doing, and you want to honor anything that's in anybody's life that you can find to make peace with. To let them feel the peace of God. So these principles are there. But getting back to these horses, this red horse stage we're in, the church was falling. It was waning. The sword of the Word of God was being used to take peace away. Not so much deliberately, but in ignorance. Lack of understanding or lack of wisdom. Then it fell down into a black horse. You can read it for yourself. But the rider of the black horse had a pair of balances in his hand, saying there's a measure of wheat for a penny or a measure of three measures of barley for a penny or a measure of wheat for a penny. And back when that was written, there was a penny was a denarian. It was about a Roman soldier's wages for a day. And barley and wheat are good grain. They represent the Word of God in the Bible. It's good grain. But barley is not as it doesn't have as much value. It's not as much quality grain as wheat is. If you bought enough wheat to make yourself a loaf of bread, it'd just about feed you. But you could buy a lesser bread and you could make three loaves of bread with the same denarian. You could feed your family on that maybe. It just shows how scarce the Word of God was. And there was a lack of understanding of the Word of God, and it was scarce. It was hard to get. It was a high price. You had to, there was a high price for just to get enough of the Word of God to sustain life today. Sustain your spiritual life. Because the church was full of darkness. And you know, I've just came to an understanding in the last few years. In fact, I was just shaving this morning thinking, how many of the brethren would agree with me that God was in the formation of the Catholic Church? That took me a while to come to believe that. But I just see where God had very little to work with, and he had to put some kind of structure to it. And it was out of that that he started the Reformation. I also seen that in all of the different organizations and denominations that came out of Catholicism, God was in that. He can't, you know, there's only such a certain span that a man can jump to. God just has to take us little by little, line upon line. And God put in to get away from the dictatorship of Catholicism. God put into these organizations democracy. They voted preachers in, voted them out. They have boards, and they can fire a preacher. Now that's not biblical, not to the New Testament church. You couldn't have fired Paul or Peter or John or James or none of them preachers back there, I don't think. And we see that. There's been a few times I wish we could fire a few guys. You know, but we're trying to establish New Testament order. And so we're having to work with it. But there's nothing wrong with having some minds put together to have order and to make sure that things are done right. And we're seeing what was in the early church, but to have the operation of it, it's going to take a white horse. It's going to take righteousness to operate with the operation of the early church. So finally, the horse goes down into a pale horse. Goes down into, and death was the rider, and hell followed with it. In other words, that church didn't have a message that could produce life. It wasn't quickened of God. It just produced more death. That's how far the church went down from this white horse down to a state of you couldn't get life there. It evidently took that for God to finally get man in a condition that somebody would begin to cry out, God, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more to this. When you read the Bible, thank God for men that God stirred up their minds when it was time that they could get ears. God could quicken people's ears and they would respond to it. God allowed it to get that in that condition. You've got to see that. For you to understand what God's doing today, you've got to see what happened to the New Testament church that you read about and where it's at today and what God's called us to today. And we're in a restoration mode. I took a picture. This, I don't know if I've ever posted anything on Facebook, but I posted something. Yeah, Brother Tally, did you see my post on Facebook yesterday? You missed it. Did you see it, Sister Tally? God bless your heart. My big old white rooster, he jumped up on my backyard fence and stood up there and went, I got my camera out and took a picture of it. And I said, he's up on the fence crowing. I posted it on there. I said, reminds me of Jesus' words when he talked about the cock crow, the time of the cock crow. I said, anybody know what time that was? Anybody know what time he was referring to? Because Jesus said, when the Lord, Son of Man returns, will he come in the evening watch or in the cock crow or the morning watch? When's he coming? Well, thank God for those reformers. God stirred them up. They jumped up on the fence. Martin Luther said, they said, how do you do what you do? He said, I just go out in the graveyard and jump up on a tombstone, just start preaching the Word of God. He was crowing. It was early in the restoration time, and he was letting people know there's light. God's done something. God gave him something. He gave him something to crow about. He let him know it's the day of the Lord's coming. God's coming back on the scene again. Hallelujah. And he came out of that pale horse, dark era. And darkness was still in the earth, but my rooster, he crows. I can hear him out there in the morning way before daylight. He wakes me up sometime. I can hear him. There's that rooster again. And you know, Michael, this was a nice tame rooster. Till Michael came over there and Michael got to crowing with him. And I think that rooster thought, you're trying to take my girls. And boy, he went to flogging. Michael turned his back on him, he'd flog him. And then he went to flogging me. I never did crow at him. Yeah, he'll flog you. You got to watch him. So Brother John, I've got me a stick. I got a rooster stick. It sits right by the front door. When I go out there to let them chickens out, I take my stick with me. Because when I turn my back on him. And I'm going to tell you something about this rooster. I didn't know this. I bet a lot of you men don't know this. If you think you can handle a rooster without a stick, you just try it. I stood out in the yard one day and kicked at him 6 or 8 times and nearly killed myself and never did hit him. Every time I kicked, he could jump that high off the ground and I never did hit him. But he stuck at me 2 or 3 times. I thought, you rascal, you. So I got me a stick. Next time he come at me, I whopped him upside the head with that stick. I thought I killed him. He got back up and shook himself. Now, all I got to do is walk out there with that stick. He just goes the other way. But if I don't have my stick, he's looking at me, and he'll run up at me like that. I said, he knows that I'm not no pushover now, at least. That the other day, I didn't take my stick. I thought, well, he knows. He knows better than mess with me. So I opened the chicken coop to let him out like a good boy. And I started, turned my back, started walking. I heard something going, thump, 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 thump. I turned around. There he was. He said, you ain't got your stick, boy. Anyway. He crows before daylight. Those first reformers was crowing to let you know the day's coming. There's a day out here. I can tell. Well, we're still crowing about the day. I think we're getting closer. We're in a red horse stage. We've moved out of the black horse. God's touched us. He's give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's been restored in the last 100 years. God's the baptism of the Holy Ghost has came back into the church. And we have services like we had here today. People get blessed. We start singing. The Holy Ghost comes in, starts touching people's lives. I'll be honest with you, I was thinking this morning, I thought, God, we need more than just a touch. We need an absolute gully washer. We need you. And I know how for us to really get down and press and labor for that. And it may take that. We may have to work on that. I hadn't forgot that. I don't think I have. I know how to get down and travail in God until I get lost in the Spirit. And I know many of you do too, and we may have to get down and travail to get God to come back in here and touch us in the depth that we need His touch. And I don't want y'all to get away from thinking we don't need that. But He has brought us back into this red horse stage, and we're moving towards that white horse. There's going to be people make the bride of Christ. They're going to get back into the righteousness of God. He's going to restore divine order. Jesus is going to sit on a horse again. He's the rider. Man's been riding it long enough. Thank God Jesus is going to finally find a people that can carry Him as the head of the body. And He's working with us. He's developing that. And I'm longing for the day that God's righteousness is prevailing and working with us and helping us. And that we'll have the operation of the New Testament church. You see, when you see what happened to the church and that it fell away, you can understand why there's all kinds of teaching that's not correct. It's been corrupted. There's been different ideas put to it. See, right now people think they can go to heaven just about any way. Just like I said, I was telling you about last night, saying to my wife, well, maybe the whole thing's going. That's what some people actually believe. Some people just think, you know, well, I'm as good as a Christian. I'm trying to do the best I can do. I had a conversation with somebody the other day. And they asked me, I don't see how y'all leave one another. I don't see how people leave the church. I said, well, you left it. There's a person that used to belong to this church. I said, you left it. They said, yeah, but I changed religions. I said, you left. You didn't just leave the church. You left God. You changed religions, you left God. You joined up with an anti-Christ group of people that don't even believe in Jesus Christ as being the Messiah. And they said, well, I just don't believe it's necessary for Jesus to come and die for everybody's sins. I said, you've already said enough to let me know you don't have very much of an understanding of it all about why He did come. But see, some people can just believe anything. I mean, they whatever will justify their ideology. There's all kinds of ideologies in the world, but there's only one truth. Look, the fourth chapter of Ephesians says there's one body. All these different churches out here ain't part of one body. They're divided, separated. This look at my body. There ain't an arm laying over there and a foot laying over there. It's not pieces of a body laying around. It's one body and it's all connected. And when you look at the New Testament church, that's the kind of church it was. It was connected. The ministry was connected. They knew each other. They preached the same thing. They were connected with the understanding of the things of God and their message of Christ and God's purpose. It was one body. All this conglomerated mess of religion out here ain't one body. It's separated. You know what I'm doing here today? I'm trying to remind you of why you're here. I'm trying to remind you of the things that convinced you and gave you a vision of the body of Jesus Christ. You have to see the church fell away, and you've got to see it's being restored, and you've got to also know it ain't restored completely yet. We still need more truth. We still need more of God. We still need more of His help. We still are waiting for a white horse, a rider of the white horse to come back again. Hallelujah. So, I'm glad today for what God's gave us, what He's helped us with. I don't think any of you will keep me up to 3 o'clock in the morning here, you know, with questions. But this is an older work than that. You know, see, that work over there in the Dominican Republic isn't young work. It's only, what, 13 years old. And there's new people coming in, coming around all the time. And when you first start hearing this message, Brother Green told me, he said, I didn't tell that preacher that this message was going to get him in trouble and what suffering he is going to have to go through to have it and to hold on to it. I said, don't tell him that. I said, he'll figure that out for himself. But I said, if he really gets the message, he'll go through the suffering. He'll go through every whatever he's got to go through to keep it, just like you and I have done. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God gave you something that's worth standing for? It won't cause you to just be shuffled, moved off one way or the other. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I want to announce that this coming Saturday, men's breakfast, men's meeting, and then Sunday is dinner day. That's what day is that? The 8th? Is that right? And that's dinner day, and right after dinner we need to have a meeting in the Linegar room with all of the department heads and workers for the youth meeting that's coming up in July. We need to talk about what we need to do and get prepared for that. Brother Durham met with an air conditioned man over here this past week, looking at our ducting system, and also just talking to them about what we need to do to have better, adequate air conditioning for our youth meetings. I know we, in fact, I told them our last youth meeting that we'd have air conditioning, we'd fix this some way for this next meeting. So we're going to have to get busy. I think we are going to probably have to add something, but we do have some duct problems too. And Brother Paul Thompson's heart, he's worked with it all these years, keeping us going, keeping it working, and trying to hold down a full-time job and a business, and trying to take care of all this. We got 25 tons of air conditioning in this sanctuary, plus the other parts of this building. And it works fine for what we do in here, but when you get 600 people in here, in July and end of July, nearly August, and it's 100 and something degrees outside. Yeah. We need some colder air, Brother John. We need help at that time. And so pray with us that God will help us and give us wisdom and to know how to do it the right way, and that would be being good stewards over God's money and God's property here. All right. Is there any other announcements we need to make? Why don't we just stand and give God a praise? We have service this evening at 5 o'clock. What about band practice? 4 o'clock band practice? Brother McGowan's taking care of that for Michael. He's sick today. Keep praying for him. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God, Jesus, we're thankful for your goodness to us. For everything you have given us, Lord, everything you've touched our lives and graced us with. Your goodness, Lord, we give you praise. Go with your people, Lord. Help your people. Touch them. Lead them, direct them, and guide them. In your steps, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Saturday morning, 8:30. Men's meeting, 8:30 Saturday morning. Thank you, Brother Stewart. Shake hands and be friendly.